Hey everybody, it is time. It is time to hop on a plane, a train, a boat, a goat, a bike, a car, and find your way upstate New York to a little town outside of Phoenicia. I don't know what the town's called actually, but the place that we're going to be in is called Menla, and it is a gorgeous, epic retreat center in the middle of the forest in the Catskill Mountains with a spa and organic vegetarian food with lots of beans and yoga in the morning and a swimming pool and a swimming hole and trails. And yes, it is an HLN retreat. It is a 5-day retreat from Wednesday, June 12th to Sunday, June 16th. It is the biggest retreat we've ever put on, and the entire team is going to be there. They are all flying from different corners of the country to come together to hold you in the healing magic that is Somatics. We will be teaching you how to belong without having to fit in, how to find safety inside of yourself and share that with others, how to receive witnessing, how to feel for your boundaries instead of fawning. We are going to cover so much, and you're going to be doing it in the most ideal setting of being fed, of being loved, of resting, of enjoying the forest and nature, and being with us and 60 other bodies. So please go to the website, holisticlifenavigation.com, and click on events, and you'll find it there. Wednesday, June 12th to Sunday, June 16th. All the info as well can be found directly through the link in this episode details. I am just so thrilled for this, and I can't wait to see some of you in person. On today's episode, I welcome my friend and colleague, Natasha Levenger. And we speak about how energy is a real physical thing, and by being aware of it and working with it, you can enjoy your experience on Earth much, much more.
By occupying our bodies more, it is a spiritual experience, which is something that I used to negate. I was like, why do I even need this body? Like, I'm just a spirit anyway. The body's going to be gone after I die. But it is like, it's a spiritual experience to embody yourself.
Welcome to the Holistic Life Navigation Podcast. I am your host, Luis Mujica. I was sick and depressed until I discovered that I could make music, and then my whole life transformed because I began learning how to listen more deeply. Listen to life, to the people around me, and to my body. And that's when I realized that the body speaks through sensations, and learning this new language meant relearning my body and mind. I soon healed myself of many chronic conditions and then began teaching others how to do so as well. Holistic Life Navigation combines nutrition, self-inquiry, and somatic experiencing to help you release stress and trauma just by listening to your own body. This podcast serves as a place to share my experiences as well as the experiences of many others who have healed and are healing through unique, unorthodox, and unusual ways. Your time to learn begins now. Natasha is an energy healer that focuses on inner child work and releasing stories that either no longer serve us or simply aren't ours. And the latter really appeals to me because I've seen how meaning becomes biological, a thought or concept or identity that gets attached to an event or inherited intergenerationally from our ancestors and relatives, completely rules our lives. And because it's unconscious, it's something that's locked in the soma, in the body. Now we know the body has a nervous system, and we know that nervous system essentially is like electricity, energy. We emit warmth. We are beings filled with energy. So when we hear energy healing, it's so easy to go to that judgmental place of a charlatan who's claiming to heal us with their mind. But Natasha brings in a much more embodied focus, which is why I wanted to speak with her. About energy and feeling energy and working with energy isn't about being in your head. It's about being in your energy, actually feeling it coursing through you and noticing where it is in the field you're in. And the reason why meaning and story is so important is because different energy expressions come from different meanings. If you take a breath right now and you think something really beautiful about somebody, something really positive and kind and loving, notice how that feels. Really, try right now. Feel into your body and just see, how does it feel in my body when I focus or think about something really lovely about someone or myself? And just notice it. Maybe put a hand over it just so you can feel into that sensation. Now let your mind wander to a place that's maybe a little rude or judgmental or angry or annoyed. Notice how that feels, where you feel that. Put your hand over that. What's so remarkable to me are both of these sensations that we experience in our bodies, these symptoms of release and openness and expansion, or constriction and tension and pressure, or numbness. These are physical states brought on by the way energy is being expressed in response to thoughts and meanings and subconscious, I'll call them images or memories, right? So through somatic experiencing and somatic therapy, I've learned myself and by watching so many other people who practice this, get in touch with how their physical bodies store, use, and express energy. And Natasha's work really goes at the root, which is just energy. Going into the energy, what is it holding? What stories are there? What thoughts and memories and images and meanings come forward? It's a very somatic approach in a way. Actually, it's more of a self-inquiry approach. You're questioning and relating and inquiring into your energy, your experience of how your energy is being used. Where is it? How it feels when it leaves your body a bit, how it feels when it's closer to your body. It's just a practice of curiosity, essentially. And the more we practice it, the more we start to notice how our energy responds to things around us, good or bad. And Natasha said something like, you might not enjoy every experience on this planet. That might be spiritual bypassing. But when you're working with your energy field and you're aware of it, when you're going through something really difficult, you're not going to constrict as much around it. And that's what I've learned from somatic therapy. Difficult, irritating, triggering things occur, but you're so aware of your body's physical and energetic response to that trigger or event that you're so much quicker to relate to it versus it just freezing in that position, going unchecked, unnoticed for years. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was really fun chatting with Natasha, and I'm going to have her back on in a couple months to talk about her personal story that led to this healing work. I'm taking a quick break from the episode to remind you that my next 6-week course begins on Sunday, October 10th. This is a live teaching course. I meet with you every Sunday and Wednesday in a group space on Zoom, and I teach you different principles of learning how to relate to your body so that you can release stress and trauma through listening to your body. Every session is recorded, and all the teaching sessions are yours to download and keep for life. You'll also walk away with a nice handful of audio exercises that will walk you through each step long after the course has ended. For information, visit my website, holisticlifenavigation.com, and register for the intro webinar. It takes place on Sunday, September 12th at 10 a.m. Eastern, and I'll answer all your questions there. A replay will be sent out to all of you who cannot make it live. But do know, registration goes live on Sunday, September 12th at 11 a.m. Eastern, right when the intro webinar closes. So if you're interested in taking this course, put that in your calendar, Sunday, September 12th, 11 a.m. Eastern. This course tends to sell out pretty quickly. I look forward to seeing you all there. Now let's go back to the episode. Welcome to the podcast, Natasha Lovinger.
Yay, thank you.
Thanks for having me. Oh yeah, I've been wanting to have you on. I've been on yours twice now.
Yeah.
So it's fun to now reciprocate. Yes. like you be in the other seat.
I love it.
Do you like being in the other seat?
Yeah, I do. I like talking about myself.
Ooh, I like it.
I really like talking about this work though, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You know, I guess what I will ask first for my audience, just for you to introduce yourself from the place of the work you do. Like, what is it you do exactly? What do you specialize in? Tell us that first, then we'll go into you a bit.
Yeah, sure. So the work I do is, I call it energy healing and energy reading, but energy healing has such a large umbrella. It's an umbrella term. It can mean so many things. But specifically, the work I do is to basically help people to release what isn't theirs, to be more in touch with who they really are, and also to integrate shadow stuff. So, you know, a lot of people are carrying around just energy that doesn't feel good to them. So I look at chakras, at energy patterns, belief systems that people are holding in their chakras, just in the general energy field, and then help clear it out. And so what people are storing in their chakras is often old pattern, old trauma, basically, what they picked up from a long time ago that isn't serving them, belief systems and things like that. So we can, when we're in touch with that, with our energy, when we can feel that, then we can release it. But also most of the time, what I quickly realized when I started seeing people was that the inner child would come up basically every time, the wounded inner child. So the wounded inner child is the part of us that's still living in the past, and it can be many different times. There can be many different versions of your wounded inner child. That is still believing the story or still stuck in the moment of whatever happened. And so by embracing that part of ourselves and loving that part of ourselves and talking to it and understanding it, that's a way of integrating so that we can heal and really feel whole and feel in touch with, like I said, with who we really are.
That's beautiful. The one piece you first said that I heard, letting go of things that aren't theirs. I've been talking about that a lot lately. Oh. I often use the word attunement. Mm. And attunement is like a beautiful thing. I was recently using it in an example of when we're only attuning to others and not ourselves, that's when it gets off balance.
Oh yeah.
But attuning to people is like how we have empathy and how we connect and how we notice something's off. But I love what you were saying about letting go of what isn't yours. Because when I think of a wounded inner child, I think of intergenerational trauma and things that get passed, like beliefs, patterns, physical stored energy, unconscious memory, right? Somatic memory.
Totally.
You know, so when I hear you say that, I hear in my context, I'm helping people not attune to someone else's trauma anymore. Mm. Now, how does that show up in your practice?
Yeah, well, because so much of what we learn is, I mean, all of what we learn from when we're little is from other people's trauma a lot of times. I mean, and so then, yeah, so it's healing. It's healing the relationship. The thing is, what I've learned is that when you have to heal yourself and have compassion for yourself first before you really can, heal ancestral trauma. But it can be, I mean, there's so many ways to do that. I oftentimes work with the inner critic, in terms of, like, for instance, I'll just talk about myself. My own inner critic is essentially my mother, who you know, I've basically internalized, and it's that energy field. But I've recently, what I've been doing is talking to that energy and asking, what does she need? What didn't she get? And handing over the trauma that I received from her to her. And then she, what I see on an energy level is she can either, she sometimes I'll have her hand it to then her mom and then her mom. And it's like, you know, a whole line of healing. And then they give it to the light, they give it to source, they give it to their spirit guides or, you know, whoever we're working with at the time. But yeah, I mean, everything comes from the parent wound and then the pictures. I look at it in terms of pictures, the pictures stored in the chakras. So the pictures that come up, we look at and heal, and yeah, they often come from what we learned or how we interpreted experiences from our parents a lot of times and other places too. But what we learn mostly, I mean, like just on a brain level from 0 to 7 is when we store all of the information in terms of how we relate to other people, how we feel about ourselves, how, you know, just in general, we feel about ourselves in the world, because our brains are actually like in a hypnotic state at that time. So we're just like, we're sponges absorbing all of that. So then we can later grow our adult inner parents and learn how to release all of that.
So it's literally like a process of deprogramming and unlearning what you think is you, right? Like you're separating that from yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So I get curious about, because I find that with a lot of spiritual and energy work, it can bypass the physical body, like the soma. Mm-hmm. What is your way? First of all, I'm curious what your experience is with that. Mm-hmm. And what's your way to remedy that? Like, how do you feel the experience of giving that back through the ancestors?
Mm-hmm. So you mean like, how does that connect to the physical body? Yeah. So it's interesting because I've always been very attuned to just the energy body. It was very scary for me growing up too. It wasn't safe to be in my physical body. And I had very clear connections to source. Like I actually heard when I was 5, this what felt like a loving message from source or my guides or whoever that said, my mom had been yelling at me and she shut the door and I heard, this is hard, but you're going to be stronger after you learn from this. And I've always just been like, oh, I've had so much faith in that energy connection and feel that's where I felt my safety. So I also, once I learned that I'm going to get to the soma, I really am, but first I had to learn through the energy healing that I learned. That's how I learned how to feel grounded, actually, because through my energy grounding cord, through calling my energy back to me, through having a real much, because before I would spread it out, my energy was everywhere. I was very scattered. I would forget things all the time. I would lose things all the time. But just by actually owning my energy field, I became grounded. Now, to be honest, I didn't really feel super connected to my body. That's actually, I took your class because I was like, oh, what would that be like, you know? And I actually do often in energy sessions with people, I can see like, oh, you do need to connect more to your body. Like I get the information. It would help to move the body more or drink water. Or I like to tell people to do this technique of moving slowly, feeling their feet on the ground very slowly, like the heel, the, you know, the bother. So I do get that information, but, you know, it's weird. I thought I would feel a huge difference when I was more connected to my body, which I do think I am now after your course. I'm very much aware of it, but it hasn't been a major difference. And I think that might be, I mean, I did notice like I would cry more and I would, which that I hadn't been feeling. So that's like a physical thing. But the chakras really are connected to the actual spine. And I'm so in touch with them. Maybe that's why it's like I am more in touch with my body than I thought. But it's very, for me as an energy person, it's all, I experience it on, I don't know how else to say it, just I've experienced it on an energy level. Like I feel the energy flowing or I don't feel it flowing. And again, like if somebody is really disconnected from their body, I actually think they can get away in there energetically speaking first, because that's how I did it. And yeah.
I'm glad you're saying that, because I feel like when some people hear energy, there's the one thought of something that's like etheric and smoky and around you, you know, like when we think of like the aura.
Yes.
When I hear you, the way you were just talking about the chakras and the spine and feeling energy, I mean, right there is the key terms, like feeling the energy.
Yes.
And right, like when I started training in somatic therapy, I remember realizing, oh, this is just energy. Like we're calling it trauma, and
right.
We have all these words for like regulation and activation, but we're just talking about different levels of energy that's tolerable to feel, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, what we are is beyond the mind, and sure, it's also behind the body. It's beyond the body. We are, that's what we are, I believe anyway, is love and infinite spirit. And we do, I have to say, like, keep bringing up your class because it's the most somatic experience that I've had. But, you know, we do, by occupying our bodies more, it is a spiritual experience, which is something that I used to negate. I was like, why do I even need this body? Like, I'm just a spirit anyway. I'm, you know, the body's going to be gone after I die. But it is like, it's a spiritual experience to embody yourself, to feel like this is the only body you have for the time you're here. And yes, we're all going to die. And who knows, maybe if you believe in what I believe, you'll maybe go in another body, but it's like, this is a special thing to have it. And so to own it, owning the present in every way is a spiritual experience, and your body is part of it. So I have learned to stop negating my body. I mean, I'm lucky in that I didn't have a negative relationship with it. It was just kind of like, this thing that I occupy while I'm here doing my energy, living my life.
I'm happy you said that, because I'm thinking about my own development. And I remember, everyone that listens, most people know my story. I completely dissociated from my body. Yeah. It was like intolerable to even look at my, touch my body. So from my neck down to like my waist, there was no body. There were just arms and legs and a head.
Yeah.
And I remember first getting into energy work. Like that was like my doorway into self-healing was the chakra systems and Wicca. And just kind of Reiki and just understanding like how to heal things on a really subtle level, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And now looking back on that as it's transgressed into this or transpired into this somatic work, what you said just now is what I find to be true. What a spiritual experience it is to be in a body. It's like, it's amazing, because if we are this thing that we call spirit, you know, which it's consciousness, whatever it is that witnesses the body, because we know we're not the body.
Yeah.
But if we're, maybe not everyone believes that, but you and I believe that we're not our bodies.
Yeah.
So if the not our body self, and we'll call it spirit for the sake of this conversation, mm-hmm. is in the body, it's actually like a sacred relationship, isn't it?
Yes, it's a very sacred relationship. That's true. Yeah, I think you, I think people that, you're an earth sign, right?
Virgo.
Yeah. So I feel like there's all different ways to experience the body. And some people are more body centered and really experience that spirituality in their bodies in a stronger way than other people. You know, like for me, it's very easy. Like, I mean, not to get too out there, but like I easily talk to people who aren't in bodies anymore. You know, I love doing that. I love to, like when I was 9, I had, I used to look at the obituaries and like write down new friends to talk to.
Oh, like, I love that.
Like I'm very much not an earth-based person necessarily, but again, the more you wouldn't think it's maybe counterintuitive, but the more I got into my energy body in the present, the more I was able to really be like, oh yeah, I can see why I want to be on Earth. I can see what's special about Earth and what's special about my body. Yeah. Anything, when you're present, it can be a beautiful spiritual experience.
Well, even when you said, I can see what's special about Earth, like when you said that, I just imagine being like a swirling spirit, you know, in the ether. Yeah. And realizing how avant-garde it would be as a spirit to be in a body, you know?
Yeah.
Like how far weird out that is. Like to drink water and like run into walls, you know, to have like limitations. If you're really thinking about it in those terms, it's like such a ride, isn't it?
Yeah, I think about it in those terms all the time. I do, but again, like I think it's so important to be really present, like in your energy field too, because when I wasn't, I mean, that's when I think being an empath is hard, you know, because you're just like, you don't know what's yours. You're carrying stuff. You don't know what it is. It feels uncomfortable. That's when it's hard to be a swirling spirit in a body because you don't know really who you are.
Yeah.
I feel like knowing who you are is like the key to all of it.
Well, I'm wondering, when I hear that sentence, my mind goes to like knowing where I am, you know, kind of like when I heard you say being present with the energy body or of your energy body, I hear, where is my energy body? You know, am I feeling it in my body? Like, am I aware of it being right here? Or is it over there with that person who's angry and crying? You know, like, where is it going? Does that make sense?
Yes. I mean, that's what I talk about all the time. It's so simple. Like the things you can do to help yourself make that distinction, they're so simple and so small. Like you can literally just, what I like to do, what I was taught, is to say hello to myself from the center of my head. So like there's this point, the ball of light in the center of your head that you can identify, it's neutral. So it's not attached to any chakra or any feeling or any emotion. And from that place, you can call your energy back to you. You can do that all day long. If you're somebody who feels that they stretch their energy everywhere, I tell people all the time, just like when you're in your car, just call your energy back to you. When you're sitting at the computer, call your energy back. Just check in, just say, oh, where is my energy right now? I like to do the same thing for the inner child too. I like to have people just like check in, like, how are you? How's my heart? How's my inner child? How's it, you know, those kind of check-ins help you know when you're with the crying person and not with yourself. Yeah. And the more you do that, then you will know right away, oh crap, I just went over there, you know, and bring yourself back.
I mean, it's interesting because first of all, I love that practice of saying hello from the center of your head. Like I just did it and I felt this like everything good? Everything came so right good. Back. Like I felt very solid. Everyone listening, it has to try that right now. It's so cool. And then as I'm doing that and I'm hearing you speak, I'm just thinking, wow, the work we do is really similar. It's being taught with different language and mythologies, but it's really about how do I relate to myself, right? Like, where am I? How do I relate to myself? And how do I relate to myself is how do I speak to my inner child? How do I speak to my pain? Yes. How do I feel the sensations of I'm in the past? Or how do I feel the sensations of I started leaving myself, right? Yes. It's all these like check-ins, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so similar. I know that again, because I took your class, I was like, this is so similar. It's the same thing in a lot of ways, just from either the energy healing perspective or the body perspective. But it is the same thing. And it's funny that when you said hello to yourself, you went like you got that feeling. Because when I say hello to myself, it's like, oh, there she is.
Like, yeah, yeah.
It's like a lady.
Yeah.
But the other thing that's similar is giving meaning to things, you know, or like what I wasn't used to is saying hello to like body parts, like, oh, where is this in my body? Hi, what are you feeling? For me, it's more like what's in my energy field or my inner child, which does live in my body. But also that we attach meaning. It's the meaning that we attach to things that creates tension or contraction or makes us want to jump into someone else's experience. So that's the same thing in terms of like when I see pictures in people's space, it's like, oh, I can see what meaning they're attaching to things. And also when it started.
Meaning is everything. I mean, I'm glad you're saying that, because meaning is literally like if you have the ability to shift a meaning, you've literally shifted an entire reality in seconds.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yes. Yes. That's what the beauty is of talking to our inner child and our inner critic, because a lot of times these voices, they're just like this mishmash in our heads, you know, but when we bring them kind of out of the body metaphorically, but really when we give them a voice and we speak as them, then we can see more clearly and feel more clearly. Oh, I've been giving like, you know, this haircut so much meaning, you know, if your inner critic is like, you look terrible. That's stupid. Why do you look like that? In your head, it's kind of a low, like, oh God, I don't like my hair. But when you hear that voice, it's like, oh my God, why am I talking to myself like that? And you can hear them, that I used a very tiny, you know, obviously superficial example, but you can hear the meaning that you've been really absorbing in your energy field and in your body.
And I just want to say, it's kind of like for my own sake, I like to destigmatize energy healing.
Oh, thank you.
Because I've seen the difference between speaking with clients and to groups as a somatic therapist versus as an energy healer. I've seen the difference in reception.
Totally.
Where, you know, like people who are like naturally otherworldly and witches or drawn to the occult, like energy healing is normal. But for a big chunk of the world, you hear energy healing and people think, oh, that's made up. Like, that's not real. And I think, again, just from the somatic work I've been entrenched in for five years now, it's like, I see the somatic experiencing and the somatic techniques a way to explain how to be in touch with the energy. So energy, which is so expansive, like when you say my energy field versus like your right arm, right? The right arm is so contained. You can just be with your shoulder. How does that feel? But the energy field is quite, I think people get overwhelmed by the vastness of it. Can you speak to that at all?
Yeah, definitely. That's interesting. Well, first, I just want to say, you know, we're human beings and we like to, we believe what we see, you know, so it's like, if we see it, then it's real. But one example that I just came to me the other day was, you know, sometimes people will be lying to your face and they'll be saying it and you're hearing it and those are real things, but in your body, you're like, ooh, or your energy, how I would feel is like, that doesn't feel right. And that's real, you know? And if somebody comes up behind you, and you can feel them behind you, that's real. But people, you know, I understand it, that it's, we really want to see, to believe that something, that we want in order to feel safe. I think it feels safer. It's like, oh, I can point to that, so therefore it's happening.
That's right. That's right. I have to pause you there. I think it's a really important thing. I just want to sit with for a moment. That's okay.
That's good, because I forgot the other part.
Okay, good. No, I think that part about seeing is so important, because it's becoming more and more, I think, maybe it's just I'm in like a little circle and I think it's becoming bigger in the world. But
I wonder that all the time. It feels like everything's just normalized now.
And then you go to like a shopping plaza and you're like, oh, nope.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm wrong. I'm delusional. Yeah, this little bubble I live in. Mm-hmm. And this online bubble I live in, or look at, is so much in tune with what we're talking about. And the parts that I'm seeing, and I'm referring to that, I don't know if you saw the documentary that came out with Gabor Mate recently. It's called The Wisdom of Trauma.
No, I want to watch that. I keep meaning to.
Well, I'm so glad it was made because the first one I've seen besides the documentary Heal, I think it was called Heal, mm-hmm. That really explains the medicalization of trauma. Like how we become, but our bodies create medical issues, illnesses, symptoms, congestive heart failure, all these things from trauma. Mm. But then you say, well, what's trauma? Trauma is energy. Mm. Trauma is energy that's stored versus energy that flows. That's the only thing different about a trauma or a threat or a stress is that the energy doesn't flow. So I'm saying that because I have this, you know, desire or this dream that the world starts to notice, oh, energy becomes physical because you're saying like you can't see it. And so you look at someone that has, let's say, like chronic asthma, and everything in their life has changed. They're eating really well, they're taking care, but it just stays. And then we ask them to check in with their lungs. Like, how does it feel? Oh, it's always tight, right? There's all this energy bound up there.
Yes.
So I'm just kind of speaking to that because I think it's an important piece just to feel about how energy does like the body is here to physically show us where energy is.
Yeah. Yeah. I get so conflicted about that because I totally believe that and I see that. But then also there's this thing about blaming the victim, you know, that I hate to do that too. Well, I mean, like, oh, if you have cancer, it's your fault, you know, because you're holding trauma there. So therefore that's your fault. So it's kind of, I think about that a lot because I don't ever want to blame the victim and I don't believe that, but I do also believe and know from my work and myself that we do those things. We do we hold on to the trauma. We resist our feelings a lot. And when we experience something, we hold on to it as a means to understand it, or we're afraid to feel it. And when we can just allow it to exist, sometimes just allowing it, it can move. It does move.
See, what you're saying is important because that distinction between, because I agree, I do not subscribe to the notion of like, what did I do to get cancer?
Yes, exactly.
I think it's really harmful.
Yeah.
But I do believe that just like sneezing, you know, I often use sneezing as the example because it's so impersonal. It's like, like it's not my fault I sneeze. So it's not my fault I have trauma in my lungs. You know, my body's doing that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so there's this innocence. That makes, there's like an innocence there.
Yes. Yes. I really love that because also like when you're a kid or you can't help, you're actually trying to protect yourself. That also your inner critic is trying to protect you, even though mine is my mother kind of internalized that energy. That part is trying to protect me from experiencing those things again. So it's not something that you could help or is your fault. I agree. But then, yeah, by examining it and seeing the source and feeling into that, and just allowing it. I mean, self-compassion is, it's like a superpower. And it's another one of those things we can't see, you know, but you can, like, you can't, this can sound so cheesy, but you can't see love, but it exists.
You can feel it.
You can feel it. You can feel it, but you can't see it. But that self-compassion moves energy so much. I mean, when I see people after they've, like, if I'll see them before, you know, when they're being hard on themselves, and then after another session, when they're implementing self-compassion, they move energy. It moves. It's really because, or at least partly because, in my opinion, that's who we really are. We really are this endless being of love, and that's getting you more in touch with that. So that's why it's flowing. That other stuff doesn't flow because it doesn't belong there.
That's such a good way to put it. And it's like, as you're saying it, I'm just thinking the desire to remove the conditional aspect of healing. Like if my energy flows, I'll never get sick. You know, it's like, we don't know that because it's a mystery. It's a beautiful mystery.
Yes.
Right. But this practice, and I actually, before your episode airs, one already came out about, by the time this airs, one already came out with my friend Lenita, who had a near-death experience recently.
Oh, wow.
And she has this like 40, 50-year-old practice of what we're talking about, like really being in relationship with her energy and where it is and calling it in, and like transmuting the energy around her. And 10 days in the hospital dying, she said the entire thing was bliss.
I feel like I got too eager about her almost dying. I'm like, oh yes, she's almost died. I'm so excited to listen to that. I love hearing about that.
But it's important based on what you're saying about like not to victim blame, because she's pretty impeccable with her energy. And she still had this like strange multiple organ failure that came out of nowhere.
Wow.
But because of her work with her energy, she was able to relate to the being of death in her. There was no resistance. And so she said there was no pain. It was like lovely. She was all over the place. And then her body the same day. But, and then she like, suddenly they're like, wait, you're not dying anymore.
Whoa. I wonder why she came back. Was she like in a coma? Was she in a coma?
No, she was like that in and out. But it wasn't like full-on coma, but she was like conscious while her body was shutting down.
Whoa.
And they were like preparing her family. Everyone was coming in, like, you know, she only had a couple of days and then just came through. But it's a great example of, I don't do this work so I don't get cancer. That's too conditional. Right. I do this work to relate to whatever comes in, be it cancer or joy.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So that's how you see it too.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And also that idea of like, oh, what did I do? I mean, that's just more contraction. That's self-hate, really. Yes. That's self-abuse. It's just like, that's the opposite of why we're here. Also, we're here temporarily. I mean, none of us are not ever going to get sick. It's like, this is part of the experience. And you have to say, like, you have to enjoy every single second of it. That's spiritual bypassing, the more you open to it, the more it's going to be easier for you, and you can allow it to flow, and it won't be as hard. You know, when you when you're grieving, like for instance, my cat, I am very close. I'm a cat person. My cats were like the only being. I always say they taught me how to love, because those were the beings in my house that's how I learned how to love. I really believe that. But so when one of my cats died recently, I really opened to the experience of grief, and it was very painful, but it was also kind of beautiful. It was like, I felt the whole thing. Like I really went into it. And anytime that I started to contract around it, it felt so much worse. Contracting and restricting feelings is more painful than the actual just experience of the feelings.
I'm so glad you said that, because that contraction, like if we imagine it, it's like the pressure that comes from the energy when it's contracted, like that's the pain in my experience.
Yes.
And I have the same experience with grief. It's like, it like rocks you because there's so much love coming through that can hurt sometimes.
Yes.
And you're in this dance of, am I constricting against the grief or am I opening to the grief? Mm. And it's a dance. It's like you're pendulating in between those places.
Yeah, it's so funny. I like to, because we're so different in some ways and so similar with the work and so on, just because you moved your body when you said dancing. And like for me, again, it's just all like, oh, like it feels like just this energetic experience of my heart. Like I really feel it. I'm sure you feel it in your heart too, but you were like moving your body. And for me, I feel it so much in the energy field. And, you know, yeah, I was just going to say one more thing about not seeing, but they are, even though we can't, our imagination, we can't see it. And when I'm talking about the energy, like I feel it in the energy, we can't see it, but it does exist. It's just in a plane that we can't see. for lack of sounding like a real cuckoo. I'm sure no, that, I already do.
So. Oh, no, never. No, I mean, to me, that maybe to some people, not to me. No, that's so right on. Because again, it's so funny how you're seeing that difference between us. Like, I'm like in my body about it, and you're kind of just in the field, like dropping in.
Yes, I
think it's proper because, not proper, but it's a proper assessment of me. Because because when you said we're in a plane where we can't see it, it's like, yes. And to me, the body is how you dust for those fingerprints. You know, the body lets you feel what you can't see.
Oh,
so
that's interesting.
So I see the body as like this barometer that helps you sense the energy that you might not believe in or know what to do with. Now, some of us like you, you're like,
yeah, I don't do that.
Yeah, you're like forget that. That's not how I'm dusting. Which I love, but that's how I do it.
Yeah. No, I love that. Yeah. I mean, earth-based, I used to be intimidated by earth-based people because I was like, oh, I'm so not them. And that's when I cared more about what people thought of me. Because I'd be like, they're not going to like me because I'm scattered. And now I'm like, oh, no, that's interesting. We're just different.
And yeah, like we get to the same place in a different way.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what is your sign?
I'm Aquarius.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and Libra moon and Pisces rising. So it's all very like,
wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. Aquarius makes sense.
What do you
think? Aquarius makes a lot of sense for you.
Oh, yeah. The weird. Yeah.
No, I love Aquarians. My daughter's Aquarius rising. So it's like, she's like straight up weird right away. There's no tucking it away.
That's funny. I do have I used to think, oh, I'm so airy, but I actually have all the earth signs in my chart somewhere. And that's cool. Don't, and it does, like, again, I just want to say you can be grounded, even relating to the world in an energetic way. And to mention your class for the last time, I think it helped me. It was just like another level to be like, oh, and I can also like say hi to my legs and see what's going on there and like deal with it on a physical level, not just, not just like, where is it in my energy field? Like,
yeah,
like my
that.
Leg, my, cause there are leg channels. So usually I'm like, hello, leg channels, are like checking in with them. Where are they blocked? Like, oh, I'm going to clear it out with light. But now it's like, oh, the legs too. I can pay attention to them.
I love that. You're marrying both philosophies there.
Yeah. And I feel like you are too, you know, cause you, even that maybe not consciously like dealing with your chakras, but because you're dealing with the energy, you are.
I completely agree. Well, when I was really into chakra work, and I was training and then studying and practicing it with my friends and myself, I remember the big correlation was the certain foods that related to the chakras. Oh. And that was like my little foray into, oh, the physical earth realm has so much to do with the energy field. Like they are relatives. And so it's really about the body as a relative more than anything else. It's literally a being we're inside of.
Yes, that is true. I have to remember that more because I do feel like if my eating was different, it may help me connect even more to the other side. That's all. That's always my motivation. Am I hearing my guides enough?
What can I use on this earthly plane to get off the earthly plane?
Exactly.
That is so funny.
I know.
Well, I'm realizing we don't have enough time. I haven't asked you anything about your life growing up.
Oh.
Because I was so interested in our conversation. So I want to have you back. If that's
great.
You know, to talk about your life. Yeah, I want to hear more.
That'd be great.
Because you don't get as good at healing or being empathic or holding space unless you've been through some shit.
Yes, and I have.
Okay, so you know, I'd love to just have you on to talk more about that.
Oh, thanks, I'd love that.
But how can people find you? What do you offer? Like, how do you? What's the way you work now with people? And maybe talk about your podcast as well.
Oh yeah, so you can find me at highestlighthealing.com and on Instagram at highestlighthealing. And I do sessions with people where I look at their energy field, look at the sources of whatever they're feeling and help clear it out. And I always, it's like clearing out the whatever is ready to come up in the moment. It's not like, okay, and now you're done for life. It's just like, you know, I'm able to see in and clear out. But the thing that I'm really focusing on is my inner child healing class, which I'm probably going to be doing in August, or my inner child healing work. I'm also working on a book about that too. And so you can find all that on my website. And yeah, my podcast, Magic Monday, which I co-host with Tess Whitehurst, who's a spiritual author and a witch and a great person. And we have a lot of fun on there. You can listen to Luisa's episodes. We talk about like all things witchy, energy healing. Just like exploring a lot of what we talked about here. But more like the day to day of it, and we interview people. So I think that's it.
I love it. You know, I love listening to you too. I love being on with you too. I love hearing what you have to say. You're so like you're very grounded in your approach.
Appreciate that compliment.
Believe it or not, but it's very lovely because you're a real person. Like, it's very easy to connect to you. You attune so beautifully. It's like, this isn't someone who's so bypassed by using energy or talking about it. Mm-hmm. It's someone that's really like feeling the energy and embodying it. Thank you. I love being around you and learning with you and from you.
Thank you. Me too. Same.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It was really great.
Thank you, Luis. Loved it.
For more information on Natasha Levenger and her work, you can visit highestlighthealing.com. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. My question for you is, where do you feel the episode? Take a breath and just notice. What's your body doing right now? Sit with it. Let it speak to you, and let whatever comes up, come up. And your only job is to listen, for all the wisdom you need is right inside of you. For more information on my work, including my online courses and healing circles, please visit holisticlifenavigation.com. You can also follow me on Instagram and Facebook, where I share weekly philosophies and resources to help you release stress and trauma from your body, so that you can live a happier life. Thank you so much for joining me. I'll see you next time.